The glands, the head, is spade-like. The reason why it is shaped spade-like, it's the ideal shape for getting semen deposited to best fertilize an egg. Meaning, back caveman times, you were out and you came home and you wanted to make sure that your lady wasn't getting impregnated by the neighbor. And so you'd have sex with her and you'd plunge her with your penis and to pull it was like a plunger. You have sex with her and then you pull out the semen left by a previous mate.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. So when it comes to penis parts, do you know which ones are rich with nerve endings? Which areas need a gentle touch? And which can handle more force? Well, on today's Best of Show, I'll give you tips for penile pleasure from head to shaft, perineum to prostate. We also take your listener questions like, when you're in a long-term relationship, who should initiate sex? If you're not turned on by your partner of nearly a decade, what's next? And when you've been masturbating for years but discovered your entire family could hear you, how do you deal? We'll cover all this and more. Intentions with Emily. For each episode, join me in setting an intention for the show. I do it. I encourage you to do the same. So when you're listening, what do you want to get out of this episode? How is this going to help you? Well, my intention is to empower you with the knowledge needed to please any penis, whether it belongs to you or a lover. I want you to know exactly where to touch and what to use, from lube to penis rings. Please rate and review Sex with Emily wherever you listen to the show. Just check out my YouTube channel, social media, and TikTok. It's all at Sex with Emily for more sex tips and advice. If you want to ask me questions, do it. Leave me your questions or message me, sexwithemily.com/askemily, or call my hotline, 559-TALK-SEX or 559-825-5739. Just include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. And it's totally cool to change your name or choose to remain anonymous. All right, everyone, enjoy this episode.
A few things about the penis. Just to clear things up, maybe you didn't know, and we can just start here with the shaft.
Shaft.
I'm just going to break it down.
It literally just says shaft in bold letters with an exclamation point.
I literally sat down to look at the show prep. I'm like, shaft! It says shaft! So sexy. The shaft, do we all know what the shaft is? It's long. It's a primary part of your penis. You know what the shaft is, right? So the shaft is the penis. It's the long part of the penis, the shaft. And there's like nerve endings there, not as much as everywhere else. When a man's aroused, the blood flows to the penis, flows through the penis, and that's how we get an erection. Hate to say this. I don't want to talk about size, but just in my notes here, you know, I've mentioned this. The average erect penis around 5-6 inches. Not that anyone's measuring, and no one cares as much as you do about your penis, I promise.
We ballpark it anyways. We just look, and we're like, oh, whatever.
Unless it's too big.
Yeah. Most of the time.
It's too big. Like, in our experiences, not in our life. Not in our day-to-day life, but in people that you guys could call in. So then we got erections. Did you know that there are 3 types of erections that men can have?
I did not know that.
Exactly. So there's the reflexogenic erection. Reflexogenic. It sounds like something you'd buy on the Home Shopping Network or something.
Sounds like a
reflexogenic machine.
I don't think it sounds like reflexology.
Something like that. And that is caused by direct physical stimulation. Nerves in the penis communicate with the spinal cord, and then blood's released. It sounds like it's blood, not blood in a like a gushy way. Blood's released without the man's body needing to check in with his brain. And it's a reflex. It's just a reflex that does not require, okay? We're talking about, this is direct. Might not need mental stimulation. Might not require porn. Then we've got a psychogenic erection. And this comes from your mind, your psyche. So this is where stimuli, it could be a lot of different things, right? Like porn, talking dirty, fantasizing. And they're caused by different stimuli. So it's like reflexogenic is by touching, psychogenic by the brain. The third of all the erections, now that you know, there's 3, nocturnal.
Ooh.
In the nighttime, they peak during REM sleep 2 to 3 times a night. So while we are all sleeping, your erections are up all night.
The average man has about 11 erections in a 24-hour cycle. Yeah. So you guys are pretty busy.
And then there's the head, you guys, the head. Now we're getting interesting. I mean, that was interesting still. I'm not interesting. Not the penis. The penis is interesting. It has its own, you know, holiday today.
It's got its own, yeah.
No, the glands or the head. So this is the bulbous part of the penis. The protrusion at the very tip of the penis is called the glans. Also called the tip. The head. It's probably why they call it giving head. There you go. So that is the opening of the urethra. That's where the urine comes out. The semen comes out. And it is... Okay, so this is true. It is the glands, so the head, is spade-like. And the reason why it is evolved like that, it was evolved for pleasure and for purpose, according to evolutionary anthropologists. And I've heard this many times, and I believe that in sexual archaeologists, they would know. The reason why it is shaped spade-like, it's the ideal shape for getting semen deposited to best fertilize an egg. Meaning, back caveman times, you were out and you came home and you wanted to make sure that your lady wasn't getting impregnated by the neighbor. And so you'd have sex with her and you'd plunge her with your penis, and to pull it was like a plunger. So you'd have sex with her and then you pull out the semen left by a previous mate. So the previous mate that she's sleeping with isn't going to get her pregnant.
So it's like a competition thing.
It's a competition thing. Survival of the species with your head. Yeah. They're pulling out the semen from the past, plunging it.
That sounds crazy.
Wow.
That's cool.
You didn't know that?
No.
Oh, I thought we talked about this. No, I guess not with you. But yeah, no, that's a known thing. This is not a known thing.
I don't think very many people know that.
I have no idea.
I guess that's why I got my doctorate.
I'm a doctor. Figured it out.
I learned this in sex school. It's true. Maybe when I forget what I used to not know. And you guys have to know, the head of the penis, I don't remember life before sex with Emily because I just assume I knew nothing. The head of the penis, like most of you, like I didn't know. Head of the penis, are you guys very sensitive? More sensitive than the shaft. And it's like licking, like touches, like soft touches. So that's the tip. And then the foreskin. That's the soft suede-like skin that covers the glands. That's like when people are uncircumcised.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're, you know, America, Americans mostly are circumcised, I believe. Different religions, they are not. But I think more men are uncircumcised than circumcised in this world.
Yeah.
So here's the deal, that if you come across one or you're not sure about it, this is the thing. Okay, so circumcision is a widely performed procedure. 37 to 39% of men around the world living without foreskin for religious and or cultural reasons. So anyway, how you use it, just make sure that it's hygienic. Like, this is the only thing. There's like really nothing different. It could be more sensitive, but just make sure that it's clean. Make shower, make sure clean. If you have one, you probably know this, but it is, they can experience more sensitivity to stimuli. And then we got to talk about the frenulum.
Your new best friend.
The frenulum is your best friend. Now, this is where the magic happens on the penis. It's kind of like the clitoris of the penis. The frenulum is found as a thin piece of tissue on the underside of the penis where the head meets the shaft, where the foreskin connects to the shaft. It's very small but very highly erogenous zone and the most sensitive part of the penis. There's more nerves in it than the head and the shaft. This part is the penile brain, you know, even without the penile brain communication, the stimulation can lead to many happy men, many ejaculation. So during blowjob, during touching it, like pay attention, lick it, you know, use a vibrator against it. Although that would probably go like a low vibe setting and just like tickle it. Know it's there. Know it's precious. And maybe you masturbate and you didn't know it had a name. You're like, oh yeah, I do like that spot. I didn't know why. And that's why it's your frenulum.
It's interesting. Like when you do touch that part on a penis, you can see it almost gets like harder for a second. It's like it's a joke. Oh, hey. Welcome.
Hey, look at you. Welcome to the party. Yeah. So glad you're here. Scrotum and testicles. The balls. The balls are tricky. I get it. Like if you don't have them, but just you guys gotta know what they do. Some call it the nectar of life. That's where the semen originates. That's where it all happens. They snug around the scrotum. And they are just effectively, the temperature is important for sperm production. You understand that. And I think it's important to say that when playing with them, stimulating them, just go light. Like you're holding those like Benoit balls in your hand. They're very sensitive, as we all know.
I just know, I mean, like that I've noticed is like this, when the balls, when they go from being kind of like loose and hangy to like up and taut.
Yes.
I heard that that's to get them out of the way during sex.
Yes. When you're erect, they pull up.
Yeah.
They suck up. Yes.
I think that's cool.
That is cool, right?
Because, okay, this is the thing. We were talking about this earlier in the show about how we feel like not all men, but some men, like they don't really look at the vulva when going down. I'm like, I mean, I guess it's hard not to look at it like a penis because it's so much more stark and in your face.
Yeah. It's all up in your face.
But it's like I notice all of the things.
Yeah.
I know.
The balls, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. We pay attention. Perineum is also magical. I think that we can talk about the prostate, too. The prostate.
It's all similar.
But you guys, let me tell you something. The prostate for men, gay, straight, whatever you're into, for men, if you have it, men have a prostate. And there's a lot of stimulation that can happen there, and it can feel amazing for many men. And they have not tested it. So maybe one time finger. We've got a lot of great toys we talk about on the show. We love different butt plugs, fingers. Just try it if you haven't tried it. We've got a ton of stuff on our site too about that. And then the perineum. That's a sensitive spot between the scrotum and the anus, also called the taint.
The gooch.
I'm like the gooch, yeah.
It's from I learned that from Jackass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Gooch. It's a good one. I've heard that too. I didn't know that. It's where it originated. But whatever you call it, know that it has a lot of nerve endings, and that's kind of the pathway to the prostate. So that's pretty cool. You can have indirect stimulation to the prostate by just pressing down on it, or like pulling, like if you want on your own, if you just want to take a finger pad and like kind of two fingers or one, just kind of press up on it, like kind of your flat of it, just feel how that feels. And the reason why that can't feel good is because it's indirectly stimulating the prostate. And also it's a good, like if you are with a penis partner, that's a great little thing if you're giving oral or hand job to kind of apply pressure there. That can kind of provide a lot of excitement for a lot of people. You can also use a vibrator there, like a light vibe, ticker on the balls. That feels good. I think that's like a fun, like if you haven't done that to your partner and like, oh, they don't want butt stuff, like try the period, from women too.
Yeah, it's a way to like sneak it.
Yeah, just see how it feels.
Why not?
If that feels good, guess what it's going to feel like if you do try your prostate stimulating that bad boy. Penis rings, cock rings, aka cock rings. So the pivot is one that we love from WeVibe. And I love this because, so just so you know that if you want to last longer in bed, that's originally why we started hearing about cock rings years ago. They were more like steel, right?
Yeah.
The ones they help make last longer.
Really constrictive.
But they were constrictive, like blood flow. But these ones they have today, like the Pivot or the Verge or the Atom Plus by Hot Octopus, these are really cool. Like they vibrate. They have vibrators in them. You put it around your penis and it's great. Like for solo play, for a partner, like if you're with a woman, she gets on top, bottom, like it still stimulates her clitoris and it feels really, really good. We love those. If you haven't tried one, those are great couples toys to start with. Mm-hmm. The external massager is, I like the Jopen Pave Grace. It's like this beautiful little blue toy. It looks like it fits in the palm of your hand, like a little pebble. Not a pebble, like a little rock, a skipping stone.
Yeah, like a skipping stone.
Exactly. The Grace is a cool one. And then we like the Wish, because the Wish is a squishy toy. It looks like a little squishy ball. I just love it. It looks like one of those stress balls, but it's a vibrator. It's amazing. You can control it with the app, which is awesome. But it has less, it's originally created all these toys. You can use them in any way you want. Like I use the Pivot, the cock ring on my own. Clitoris, but the thing about the Wish is that its vibrations are not as intense. Like it extends throughout the whole Wish, like the whole thing. So for some in the vibrations, you always want to keep it in a lower setting. And this one already has a kind of vibration that would feel great for men, maybe not ejaculate as quickly, if that's a thing.
Do you think that more or not as many men can handle vibration just because they're not used to it or because it's like just their anatomy?
That's a really good question. I think it's the same reason why we like it. I think it's like, whoa, I've never felt, it feels amazing. So I think that anytime we stimulate nerve endings, whether they're on a woman or a man, you stimulate, think about it, it's like why you like touch or tickle or massage. I mean, it's, you haven't felt, so yeah, it could be like, I've never felt it before. That could be the first time, but no, I think it just feels amazing to be stimulated by something other than your hand or another person's hand or a body part. And I think that a lot of men don't ever try that.
It depends on what you're vibrating against. Sometimes you need it stronger because it's not as sensitive depending on where you're putting it.
Yeah, like if you put it on the tip or the frenulum or on the perineum.
They'll like go crazy.
The ball. Yeah. Some could.
Balls definitely light.
Balls, you want to go really light.
Perineum, you can go hard.
Yeah. Okay, and here's some more techniques to remember for the touching, the pleasing part of the penis. Now, remember this. There's a few basic pointers to keep in mind. Rhythm. You want to keep a rhythm going. Good hand technique is kind of like playing an instrument, when you're in a good rhythm. So, you want to use your hands to make sure that you're like going up and down and have a nice rhythm. Let's talk about pressure for a minute. if you just do like a feather soft touch or you actually blow on the penis, I don't know. People used to, I had heard a story about a friend who, was that you, Jamie, who blew on the penis? They thought a blowjob meant blowing.
Oh, that was not me. Okay. But that
I've heard that. It's not blowing. It's not light feather touching. You want a firm grip, but not too firm. So think about this. Like, think about mimicking like your real snugness. Like when a penis is inside of you, for example. Like it's that firm enough grip that you can move your hand safely up and down, but you're not causing the penis to turn purple. You're going to need to know how tight they might like it too. No purple penises. Remember the angle. Like, do you only stroke your guy like up towards the belly button and then you never go like to the other points? Like, do you ever go down south? Do you ever go like to the west or to the east? Do you know what I'm saying? So the angle changes sensation. So some guys might just want you to keep going up, but some guys might want you to move it around and play with it kind of like a joystick.
I get bored just going up and down. So yeah. I just do that naturally because I'm bored.
Yeah, exactly. And they're bored too. If you're bored, they're bored. That's how I feel about doing the show. When I get bored, I move on. Mm-hmm. I mean, I never get bored, but you know what I mean? I think I know.
No, I can tell. Well, it's time to change the
topic.
I can tell.
So change your hand positions, and it's okay to ask and be like, does that feel good? How do you like this? So play with the angle and also wetness, you guys. Remember this. It can feel good to like tease, you know, if you've got like a soft penis around, but like if you want to like make it, you know, you just start licking it and playing with your hand. But once it gets hard, you want to make sure that you get some lube on there.
And speaking of lube, I recommend Playground's Mini Escape Essence. It smells great, not too overpowering. It's like coconut and sandalwood. It's soothing vitamin E, hydrating, hyaluronic acid, bamboo extract. I mean, just let me tell you this. It mimics your natural lubrication. It's a silky texture. You're going to love it. Playground uses quality ingredients. It's long lasting and it's great for hand jobs. So please, no more dry hand jobs. Oh, and you can get 15% off your first order at helloplayground.com with the code Sex with Emily. That's helloplayground.com, code Sex with Emily. 15% off. Get this lube. Those are some penis tips, and when we come back, I'll be answering your questions, so don't go anywhere.
There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. All right, guys, into your emails. God, I love answering your questions. It's like my favorite part of the day. Always. Just go to the website if you want to send one, sexwithemily.com, click the Ask Emily tab, fill out the short form, or just email feedback@sexwithemily.com. Always, always, always include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. All right, Jamie, you want to read the emails?
All right. So this first one comes to us from Ertl, who's 30 in Turkey. He writes, "Hello, Emily. My wife and I are healthy and our marriage is healthy. We've been married 1.5 years and were together 2 years prior to that. My problem is my wife has an obsession
about who starts first. We're having sex at least 2 to 3 times every week. She tells me whenever you desire, we have sex, but this is not totally correct. Most often we decide together to have sex. Sometimes I decide, and less often it's her decision that we start. For instance, the other day I took a shower and I had only underwear on and I approached her for sex, but she said no. After an hour, I put all my clothes on and she said, okay, let's do it. I said, all right, let me smoke first, took 20 minutes, and then I was ready, and then she said, we only start whenever you want. This freaks me out. What is your comment about this situation?
All right, Ertl, it sounds like there's some more going on here. You guys have been together for almost 4 years, and it sounds like she might be setting you up. She says she'll start it, and then you leave the room, and then she puts it back on you. Here's what happens with initiating sex in a relationship. I hear this often, that there's always one partner. It seems like in every relationship, there's one partner who initiates most of the time, if not all the time, and then another partner who wants to or says they will and they don't. But there is an easy fix to this, and that is just talking to her and having a talk, a healthy talk about your sex life outside the bedroom. When you're just saying, you know what, and you're not angry, you're not mad, you're not blaming, you're not saying, you never, I went to get a cigarette, I went to smoke, and then you didn't want to do it, da da. No. Clean slate, Ertl. Let me tell you what it looks like to me, because Ertl, she might want to initiate, like, to please you, but she doesn't know how. And let me tell you why this happens to women a lot. It's because a lot of us are raised that, and we're even conditioned that men start sex. We might feel guilt around it. We might be afraid of rejection. We might have been told, you know, even subconsciously that women shouldn't be initiating sex, that we should wait for guys to claim us. Maybe she has some guilt around initiating, and maybe she's never done it. So the best thing is just letting her know, like, what feels good to you. Let her know, say, you know what? I know we've talked about initiating, but let me tell you what it looks like to me. I would love it if you initiated by me walking in the door and kissing my neck, or me walking in the door and you've already have some laundry on, or I'm sitting re-watching TV and you kiss me from behind. Whatever it is, you have to let her know, because, again, you guys are together. I'm sure she wants to please you, but she just doesn't know how. So you really have to practice here to have a healthy conversation without blaming or shaming or bringing up any of the past anger. Because, you know, when we do that, when we start a conversation and we put our partner on the defensive, we don't get anywhere. We keep having the same kind of fights over and over again. And then ask her what it would look like for her. Like, how would you like me to initiate? You might even want to take this to the next level and ask about some fantasies or some different things you can try in the bedroom. I mean, she might not have a lot of experience talking about this stuff, but the more you really get into finding what pleases both of you, the better your sex life is going to be in the long term. Thanks, Ertl, for the question.
Okay, this next one comes to us from Kevin, who's 39 in Pennsylvania. He writes, "Hi, Emily. My wife recently told me she's no longer in love with me and wants to try continuing to live together in a parenting marriage because we have 4 kids together. The youngest is only 3. She also said she doesn't want to disrupt the finance and schedule support we have together, but also hopes in time we will still find someone down the road who makes us each happy. Can a parenting marriage work? I'm also clueless about dating while married because I think many would be turned off by the very notion. Am I correctly skeptical that my wife is trying to have it both ways, or can something like this really work? Thanks for your amazing show."
Hey, Kevin. Okay, let's talk about this for a minute. I have to say that I am sorry that you're going through this right now, because it must be really hard and hurt to have your wife say to you, "I'm no longer in love with you." And then to follow it up with, "But we can still stay together and see other people." So this does not work. I'm telling you, I don't often tell people to end relationships and to break up, because I really think, you guys, I do think it's important to try to do your best and stay together for the kids if that can work. But right now, or, you know, to say that, okay, before we break up, let's make sure we go to therapy and we've tried everything. Because sometimes couples just don't. They get to a point, they don't ever try, and it's over. But the fact that she already came to you and said she's not in love with you, unless that was triggered by something that happened, which, you know, I don't know in this email, I'm just going to go off your facts here that she's already done. She says she's not in love with you, and she still wants to have her cake and eat it too. I'm telling you, this doesn't work. Kids are smart, no matter how old they are, even young babies, young kids, 2-year-old. They know. They know what's going on. They sense unrest in the home. They sense when mommy and daddy aren't in love and they're not sleeping in the same bedroom and they're not affectionate and they don't really love each other and just a working relationship. So I think the best thing you can do is to separate and show them what it looks like to be loved by both parents who live separately and then have you both develop healthy relationships on your own. I don't think that other people are going to be down with it. I mean, and I don't think that that's something that you actually want to do. I feel like she's forcing you into this and maybe even being a little manipulative by just saying, I don't love you, but let's stay together. No, I don't want to deal with those pesky finances and those four kids. This is, no, you have to deal with the finances. You have to be strong. I'm not saying this is going to be easy, but I promise if you guys are not going to be intimate and there's no more love in the relationship, the best thing you can do is get divorced. Never talk bad about each other to the kids and do your best to make, you know, happy, healthy, separate homes for the children. I promise you, it's better for your kids and for you both in the long run.
All right. This next one comes to us from Cassie, who's 27 in Toronto. She writes, Dear beautiful Emily. Oh, how nice. Aww. I've been in a 9-year relationship and my partner is 6 years older. We've lived together for the past 7 years. We're very happy, loving, good communication, and have regular sex. I'm truly suffering, though, because I just don't get really turned on by him. Yes, that means I don't orgasm. I do on my own and honestly feel I could easily with someone else. He's so into it and fulfilled, but I just can't seem to get that same buzz of excitement. I've tried ways of mixing it up, and I'm very playful and still enjoy the act, but it's not really satisfying or deep. This is something I've been working on since the first year. I'm afraid maybe I've just never been sexually compatible with him. Although he's happy, I've never cheated, but I've felt sexual energy from dancing with guys that is way hotter than any intimate moments with my long-term handsome partner. Help. It makes me so sad. Thank you for your time.
All right, Cassie. Okay, so here's the deal with this. This is what I always say to people. When they are in a long-term relationship and they no longer feel the spark, I'm like, well, how was it in the beginning? That's always my first question. And they're like, oh, it was great in the beginning. It was great. And then I can work with them. But the fact that you are telling me that you never had it in the beginning, you've been working on it since the first year, I'm not sure it's going to magically change after 8 years. Now, you might just be over it completely. And maybe you're in your head about it, and, you know, or maybe you're just ready. Like, it sounds like you might be. But I mean, the only thing I can say is you've been with him for 9 years since you were 18. So essentially, I'm going to guess that he's maybe your first real love. I mean, 18 to 27. So maybe you just have, you know, it's time for you to get out and it is time for you to meet some other people. I mean, I like to say that you guys can work on it, but it sounds like you've been trying since the first year. And if you've been trying with him and you've actually said to him, you know, babe, I don't feel our spark as much. Like, let's try to work together and see what we can do to turn each other on. Like, if you've actually tried with him and it still hasn't happened, I think that then maybe it is time to move on. Or maybe you're just desiring sexual energy from other people. But either way, which happens, you guys, this is why I am not a huge fan of getting married before you're 30. I think our 20s are really made for time that we should be figuring out what we like sexually, in a partner, in a relationship. It gives us more time to explore who we're growing into, what's important to us as adults. And it sounds like you just haven't had that time, Cassie. And I want you to have that time. 9 years together is a long time. And 7 years living together. So I think unless you're ready to bring him into trying one more time and say, listen, I'm not feeling the spark. What can we do? If you've already done that, doesn't work, then I think it might be time to move on. I really do.
Okay, this next one comes to us from Taylor, who's 24 in South Dakota. Hi, Emily. I love your podcast and I'm hoping you can help me. I was recently left by my fiance. We were together for 5 years and he left me for another girl. I'm now dating again, and I'm having a hard time with the guy that I'm seeing. We've been seeing each other for about 4 months, and I'm already to be official with him, but he doesn't like labels. I feel like that this is just an excuse for him to sleep with other women. His roommate told me that I basically am just a prolonged booty call, and when I brought it up, the guy I'm seeing said that that isn't the way he sees me at all. I just don't know what to do. Is my past making me paranoid?
Hey, Taylor. Okay, listen. Here's what I think. You were with someone for 5 years. Again, much like our last email, much like Cassie, you were with him from such a young age. I'm going to assume he's your first love and you were together for 5 years and then you guys were engaged to be married and then he left you for another woman. And that is a lot of heartache. That is really hard to deal with and you have to rebuild trust again. You have to figure out who you are without a man in your life. So I would say, take some time on your own. No, I don't know if the roommate's lying to you. The guy's not going to say, oh, my roommate's right. I actually do think that he's a booty call. But I got to give this guy credit. He's telling you, listen, when someone tells you something like this, you got to believe them. He's saying to you, I'm not looking for anything. He doesn't like labels. So it sounds like where you're at in your life right now, when you do get into a relationship, and I don't think it's now, Taylor, I think as much as we think it helps to get under to get over, as they say, have sex with someone else to get over our ex, that's a temporary fix. That's a Band-Aid fix. You could keep swinging from one relationship to the next in your 20s, 30s, but I really think that this is really important for you to figure out who you are without a man. Maybe you get into therapy because it sounds like your past might be making you have less trust in men. It might be making you more paranoid that every little move is gonna, you know, you're worried that they're out with someone else. And so until you go to deal with these core like issues that you have around trust and even just around what you want from a partner, I don't think that you should be dating right now. I think that that's just an important step to take, because then you're going to find yourself in a few years, you're in relationships and you're still not going to know who you are. So I want you, please, to take this work, you know, make sure that you're 100% confident on your own. Don't fall into those patterns of like, I need a man to complete me, or I need a man to feel whole. Because here's what happens when you're with someone from 19 to 24, or like for, you know, all those really formative years, 18 to 25. I mean, it's like, of course you're craving that energy again from a man, because that's what has filled you up all these years. It's almost like an addiction in a way. Like that energy made you feel whole, but it's really not about that. You have to, I'm telling you, do this hard work right now and just say no to dating, hang out with your friends, build a full life, build a community around you. If you meet someone, great, but I wouldn't make this your goal to try to date someone and lock them down right now. I really want you to focus on yourself, Taylor. This is the time to do it.
Okay, this last one comes to us from Ashley, 25, in the U.S. She writes, Dear Emily, when I was younger, middle school and high school, I would masturbate once or more a day with a very loud vibrator. I recently found out that my brother and parents heard me almost every time. My brother acts super uncomfortable around me, my dad doesn't know how to even look at me, and my mom tries her hardest to make me feel guilty. I never did it with the intent of others knowing, but I feel like I ruined their lives. I almost feel like I sexually assaulted my family. It's really hard for me to keep living with this guilt. I feel like if I was never born, my brother and parents would have been much happier. I'm sure this has happened to a lot of people, but I really did use that vibrator quite often and have probably scarred them for life. I'm going crazy over this and it's consuming my life. Help.
Ashley, we all read this here and I just want to give you a hug, sweetie. Sounds like you're having a lot of distress over this. And listen, you're a young kid, you used a vibrator, it was loud. I understand that's a little bit embarrassing. But I also think that you're taking this to a really extreme level that isn't true. The facts are, yes, you used a vibrator when you were younger and they heard you. That's not comfortable, I get it, but you did not sexually assault your family. And I think that if they really are teasing you about it all the time, then they're blowing it out of proportion as well. And I feel like maybe you're creating this to be a bigger thing because you feel some guilt around it, but I really don't want this to consume your life. You really did nothing wrong. I mean, your mom could have come in your room when you were seventh grade and said like, hey, darling, like this would be the ideal parent. Here's a quiet vibrator, or we hear you, you know, but since nobody feels comfortable talking to their kids around sex, which just, oh, I wish they did, this is what happens. So for now, I think maybe you might need some therapy around this, because I'm going to guess that perhaps, you know, you might feel this might have trickled over into some of the sex you're having with partners, maybe. Maybe you don't want to make noise, or you're afraid that, I don't know. I don't know what you're thinking about yourself, but if I'm just picking up on your language here of sexual assault and that your brother and your dad are uncomfortable around you. I'm wondering if you just are reading into their eye movements, like if they're looking away that maybe they're upset. I don't know because I'm not in your family, but I don't want this to consume your life. I think you could find a quieter vibrator though. The Womanizer Premium. It's a very quiet vibe. But again, the problem here, the challenge here is more about you reconciling this with your family. And if you're still not sure, you could talk to them one-on-one. I know that sounds mortifying and embarrassing, but I really feel like it's your family. And if you want to have a healthy relationship, there could be some talking to do to clear it up, because I really don't think it's as crazy as you think and as much of an impact on other lives and yours as you're allowing it to be. So you could also get some therapy, like I said, and talk to the professional about how to handle the situation. But I really think that you're going to be fine. You already are, Ashley. Thanks for the email.
That's it for today's episode. See you on Friday. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to the podcast and share this with a friend or partner. You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Sex with Emily. Oh, I've been told I give really good email. So sign up at sexwithemily.com. And while you're there, check out my free guides and articles for more ways to prioritize your pleasure. If you'd like to ask me about your sex life, dating, or relationships, call my hotline, 559-TALK-SEX. That's 559-825-5739. Or go to sexwithemily.com/askemily. Special thanks to Acast for powering the Sex with Emily podcast. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.